The following podcast is from Tabernacle Baptist Church in Cartersville, Georgia. Thanks for listening.
Church family, if you have a copy of God's Word with you, I want to invite you to find your place in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and this morning we are continuing a series of messages through the book of Philippians, and we come to verses 3 through 6. And here Paul describes the benefit he received from the church at Philippi. Paul's words remind us that there is great benefit in being a part of the church. As God's people, when we are plugged into the people of God, what's called the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we receive innumerable blessings and benefit. The church of God, the church of Christ, exist ultimately, as we sang earlier, for the glory of God, but the church provides a lot of good in our lives. There are benefits associated with being a part of the church. When we faithfully commit ourselves to the body of Christ, we experience several benefits. And Paul makes reference of this through his words in verses 3 through 6. Read along with me. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. He says, "I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." Paul here just outbursts with praise for the benefit he experienced from the local church at Philippi. He was well acquainted with this body of believers. Acts chapter 16 speaks of the way in which he was used by the Lord to start this church at Philippi. And he wrote this letter, we'll learn in Philippians chapter 4, to thank the church for their financial gift to his ministry. And as he begins his letter here, his heart's just full and he overflows with thanksgiving for the church at Philippi. And the apostle's words remind us that there is great benefit, there is great blessing that believers receive from being a part of a local church. Now, as always, nowadays, there's a lot of negativity associated with the church. It seems like our age of media and social media only heightens and highlights the negativity that's out there in the world towards the church. Even in recent days, we've seen a lot of disturbing things in relation to our Southern Baptist Convention affiliation, not a denomination, affiliation of churches that we are a part of. And indeed, there are some difficult things and some negative things associated with the church nowadays. But let's remember from the Bible that there is some biblical, God-given benefit in the body of Christ. Let's not adopt the spirit of this world where we throw the proverbial baby out with the bathwater. That's Satan's end goal. He wants people to see the negativity and the dark things and sometimes the sin in the church. And he wants to steal glory from God and he wants to blind people's eyes. He wants people to have a negative view towards Christ and the church. Let's not buy into it. Let's stand strong. Let's understand what God's word says and let's have a aim for a pure devotion to Christ and his bride. Jesus said, "I will build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Paul taught in Ephesians chapter 5 that the Lord has set apart the church, and Paul called it the bride of Christ. And Paul said that God's aim is that we would be pure and radiant, like a pure and radiant bride for Jesus. God has a purpose, church, in the church. And there's a lot of benefit in the church. In this age in which Satan, the world, the flesh, the devil, all want to deceive us and distract us from the mission of Christ and from the purpose of the body, may we know the Word of God. May we approach this book called the Bible as being breathed out by God, as the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16. And may we have a firm conviction that though there's still sin in the church, though the church is made up of imperfect people, though there'll be no perfection till the resurrection, may we in the here and now have a devotion like Paul to the church. If we don't stay mindful of the benefit of the body of Christ, we may unwittingly in life cut ourselves off from innumerable spiritual blessings. If we become apathetic and cold to the bride of Christ, we may hinder other Christians in our midst who need our support, our help, our encouragement. And we may unwittingly cut off our own families from the help, the benefit, the blessings that come from the body of Christ. Now, what are the benefits of the body of Christ? Well, I believe in Paul's words, we see three ideas that highlight the blessings and benefits of the church. And number one, we see what I would call the profit from the church, not P-R-O-P-H-E-T, profit, but the profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, the profit from the church. There is indeed a great profit to be gained from being plugged into, engaged, and active with the body of Christ. This doesn't mean you won't run into problems. It doesn't mean you won't be hurt from time to time. It doesn't mean you won't experience difficult things, dark things, negative things. But what the Word of God does teach us is that there are great blessings from being a part of the body of Christ. It's sad sometimes, but it seems like in our culture there's this consumer mentality with the church, that if everything isn't exactly how one wants it or likes it, or if one runs into negative things, one simply throws up their hands and says, man, church is too difficult. I can't really get engaged or be a part. Let's remember from God's word the benefit of the church. And remember, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. Do you know the New Testament? The Apostle Paul was called names by leaders in Corinth. He was mocked because of his physical appearance by people in Corinth. He was stoned and left for dead because of his commitment to Christ. Paul ran into hard things in the church and because of his devotion to the church, but he was still able to say through it all, there is great benefit and blessing to be had in the body of Christ. Look at what he said in verse 3. Follow along in your Bible. Paul said, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. These weren't words of feigned flattery from the Apostle Paul. He was genuine. He gave thanks for the church. He was grateful for this unstoppable force, only one of three institutions God created. According to the Word of God, God made the family, God made government, and God's made the church. And Paul was thankful for the church. The original language of the text, he used a present tense verb. And in the Koine Greek, this depicted an iterative or ongoing activity. The idea is that Paul, on a regular basis, was stirred up in his soul with gratitude for this thing called the church. When we read and study the New Testament, we find that Paul regularly spoke of his gratefulness for the church. Are you thankful for the church? Do you ever thank God for Tabernacle Baptist? Do you ever express gratitude in your prayers for missionaries, for ministers, for members of the body of Christ? Are you grateful this morning for the edification, the encouragement you've received from these people over the years? Paul was grateful for the church. In Romans 16, verse 4, he said, not only do I thank them, speaking of Priscilla and Aquila, but I also give thanks for all the Gentile churches. In Ephesians 1:16, he told the church at Ephesus, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. Oh, in this age of negativity in this world, if you're ever tempted to be negative about your church, go to God in prayer and begin pouring out your heart. Remember, recall all of the good things in the church. And through thanksgiving, it's amazing what praising will do. Through thanksgiving, the Lord might transform your perspective and you might become more spiritually mature and adopt the mindset of Paul. Remember, according to the word of God, the Lord's called us to such gratitude. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. For Paul, the church was a source of great gratitude. And the same should be true for us. Though we live in a dark and fallen world, and yes, people are perfect, there's sin in this world, we live in a fallen world, and the fallenness of this world has affected the church. The church is not perfect. There will be difficult people, problems, and pains within the church until Jesus returns. Get this in your worldview. If you're a Christian, have a Christian worldview. There is this thing called sin in the world. Christ has not yet returned. There won't be perfection till he returns. If you expect perfection in the church in the here and now, you're expecting too much and you don't have a biblical worldview. There will be fallenness and brokenness until Christ returns. But in the midst of fallenness and brokenness, we still have the church, a Jesus-established, Holy Spirit-indwelt body that exists for God's glory and for our good. Through the body of Christ, we receive the encouragement, the edification, the equipping we need to live for God in this dark and fallen world. So we should be able to say with Paul, Tabernacle Baptist, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Notice the prophet in the church. Paul thanked God for the church, but he also prayed for the church. He said, I'm always praying with joy. Why did Paul pray for the church at Philippi? He knew the church at Philippi had problems. Get this, every letter written in your New Testament, you could argue, was written because of some problem in a church. So don't disengage from the church when you see problems. Do like Paul. Pray for your church and get involved in your church. Paul was well aware that there were relational problems in the church. Philippians 2, 1 through 3. He knew there were doctrinal problems in the church. Philippians 3, 13. He knew there were financial problems in the church. Poverty, Philippians 4, 19. And so he prayed for the church. There's an old Christian bluegrass song when I lived in Barnesville, Georgia, that I attended a church that had a bluegrass group that traveled out of that church, and they had a song that said, you can talk about me all you please, but I'm going to talk about you while I'm on my knees. That's a pretty good axiom to live by. When you see problems in your church, pray for your church. Get on your knees and beg the Lord through his Holy Spirit to pour oil on the troubled waters of the church. That's what Paul did. Such prayer is a benefit and blessing of the church. In the church, you can give thanks and you can offer prayers. Jesus wanted his church to be a place of prayer. He said in Mark 11:17, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations. This is what Jesus desires for the church. Oh, don't get negative on the body of Christ. Fulfill Jesus' words. Pray for the church. Paul in his writings often commended the practice of prayer amongst the gathering of God's people. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 2, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 give examples. Later in his letter to the Philippians, he speaks of his prayer for the Philippians. Later, he asked the Philippians to pray for him, Philippians 1, 19. So through Paul's mention of prayer, we see one of the great prophets' blessings and benefits of the church. We can give thanks to the church because in the church, we have this special blessing of prayer. Now, the world gives reference to prayer. You even see it in news stories. When there's a tragedy, there's mention of thoughts and prayers are with whatever city or whatever people, whatever victims. But in the church, when we say, I'm praying for you, we can really mean it. Because in Christ, we have access to true and genuine prayer. Oh, the rest of the world can lift their voices to God, but only those who are in Christ have the experience of the veil in the temple being torn in two. It is only through the better way of Christ, the blood of Christ, that we have real access to God. Though there is enmity between sinners and God because of sin, those who are forgiven of sin through Christ have direct access to God at all times. And with Jesus, Matthew 6:9, in the Lord's Prayer, they can pray, Our Father in heaven. And this is one of the great blessings of the church. Don't get negative on the church. We can give thanks. We have this privilege of prayer. And then Paul mentioned his joy for the church. Look at what he says in verse 3. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you. Look at verse 4. Always praying with joy. Oh, for Paul, the thought of the body of Christ gave him joy. Now, this isn't some earthly, fleeting type of happiness. The word for joy in the New Testament often speaks of a God-centered, God-created contentment and gladness. This joy here is a deep, abiding satisfaction in the soul that comes from God and the truth of God. At salvation, one soul, the Bible teaches us, is inhabited by the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And with the presence of the Holy Spirit in our souls, Galatians 5:22, we now have the potential for an otherworldly, supernatural happiness and contentment that comes from God and that persists no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in the church. Now, Paul was one who had this type of joy because of Christ and because of the church, even though life was hard for him at times. Oh, Christian, get this. No matter what your circumstances are in life, no matter what has happened, no matter what other people do to you, here is biblical truth. You can still have joy through Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8:2, he said, during a severe trial brought about by affliction, he was speaking of the Philippians in 2 Corinthians 8:2, and he said they had a severe trial brought about by affliction. Can you honestly say you've had a severe trial? I would say there would probably only be a few of us who could say that. Severe trial. Now, we've had trials. We've had hardships, right? We've had tough things, but severe trial? I don't know if I can say I've had a severe trial. Affliction? Yes, indeed, there are some in the church who have experienced these things, and the Philippians were of that number. They were poor. They were destitute. Their lives were marked by poverty. And so Paul said they had a severe trial brought about by affliction. But listen, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. What's Paul talking about? He's talking about how the Philippians gave of their money. They knew the words of Jesus. It's better to give than to receive. They knew the words of the Proverbs. Proverbs 3:9, give of your first of your income, the first fruit of your income to the Lord. And though they experienced a severe trial and extreme poverty, they gave of their income to the Lord, and it was an evidence that they had great joy in the Lord. And this is a benefit of the church. When you're in Christ and plugged into the body of Christ, when your priorities are right in life and you're lined up underneath the authority of Jesus, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33, the Holy Spirit of God in your soul can produce a supernatural, otherworldly joy. Jesus spoke of this joy in John 16:24, saying, "Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be complete." Peter spoke of this joy in 1 Peter 1:8-9, speaking of the way in which the church there rejoiced with inexpressible and glorious joy. Notice all the profit we receive from the church. Paul uses words like thanksgiving. He speaks of his prayers for the church. He spoke of his joy from the church. And Paul's words remind us that there is great profit to be had in the church. Oh, let's not disengage. Let's not be negative. Let's not let the thinking of this world deceive us. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And there is so much good and blessing to be experienced here. Profit from the church. Number two, I want you to see this idea of the partnership of the church. Paul said, look in your Bible, Philippians 1:5. Why did he have so much gratitude and joy for the church? He says in verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. This word partnership was actually a business term from the first century world that spoke of a legal contract wherein two business parties decided to do business together, and there was often a financial investment. Now, Paul used this word strategically because the Philippians had indeed, as New Testament churches should do, made a financial investment in his missions ministry. No, here, every time you give, your resources are being managed well and faithfully by a finance committee that's been appointed to represent you, and they make sure that those funds go to ministry and missions and ministers in a healthy way to support gospel ministry. The Philippians had given in such a way, and so Paul regarded them as partners in his missions ministry. He spoke of the way in which they had been partners. Look at his language, from the first day until now. That phrase, first day, refers back to Acts chapter 16. Go read it sometime. Acts 16, verses 5 through 40, tells about the first days of the gospel in Philippi. It tells about how Paul was used to lead a demon-possessed girl, a Roman soldier, and a businesswoman named Lydia to faith in Christ. And those were the first members of the church in Philippi. And that Lydia was a businesswoman who was of means. Read Acts 16. This is awesome. You read about how Lydia, from the first day of the gospel, began supporting Paul and his missionary counterparts financially. She actually hosted them in their home and provided food for them. So when Paul here says in Philippians 1:5, I thank my God for your partnership in the gospel ministry from the first day, he's referring back to Lydia's financial support of his ministry. And Paul's words unearth one of the great benefits we have from the body of Christ. Through our brothers and sisters in Jesus here, we have partnership in this thing called the gospel ministry. You see, according to Matthew 28:18-20, according to Matthew 5:16, the Lord wants to use each and every believer as a light and as a witness for him in this dark world. That's God's intent with the church. We're to be like a beautiful bride, Ephesians chapter 5. Think about a wedding. If there's a wedding in this room, a bride might come down this center aisle, beautiful and clothed in a beautiful dress. And all as she enters this room, all eyes are on her and her beauty. And the church is to operate like that in this world. The church is to look upon changed and transformed believers and say, oh, what beauty, and their eyes are then to be drawn to the Lord. This may seem like a difficult task, being a light in a dark world, but the good news is you have the body of Christ. You have teachers here to teach you and train you. You have people to pray for you as you go out into your family and workplace seeking to be a witness. You have encouragement and equipping here in the body of Christ. There is partnership here. We're not doing life alone. We don't have to be victims. We don't have to be overcome by the darkness and deception in this world. We have a team here to support us and to help us. John told first century believers in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, that is, if we stay connected to Christ and his body, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The Greek word translated fellowship there in your New Testament was written in Greek originally. The Greek word translated fellowship there is the same Greek word translated partnership in Philippians 1:5. Both Paul and John knew that when we live the Christian life and stay connected with the body of Christ, we are emboldened. We are strengthened. We're better together than we are alone. Through the body of Christ, we receive partnership and fellowship that has a way of strengthening us and giving us endurance as we seek to live in this dark, depraved world. I hope you're experiencing these benefits. I hope you see the benefit of the body of Christ. We replanted our garden yesterday evening over the first couple weeks or month or so. We had some critters get in our garden and I guess ate everything we had planted. So yesterday I went and bought new stuff to plant. I had some okra seed and we maybe a little bit late, but we got out there and I got home and I had all this stuff to plant. And I thought, man, it's around supper time. Still got a lot of work. I've done a lot of yard work already, but I thought I got a lot of work before me. And Laura said, why don't we help you? And I said, amen, sister. Can I get a witness? And so I had four others helping me. And we sprayed some of that deer stuff to try to keep the deer away. So y'all pray for the deer that they'll be scared and stay away from our garden. But hey, from one small example, planting a garden, man, I experienced the benefit of others helping. Remember, you've got the body of Christ to help you in life, to strengthen you and support you. And this is one reason Paul just burst out in praise for the body of Christ. Let's look, number three, at what we could call the progress in the church. Why do we value the body of Christ? Why do we refuse to become negative? Why do we still say church works? Why do we gather on the Lord's day? Why do we stand on guard against the cynicism that's in the world? Look at verse number six. Paul said, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul here is speaking about progress in the Christian life. He's speaking about spiritual maturity of the individual believers. He's speaking about that phase of the Christian experience called sanctification. Maybe a bigger word, but this word sanctification speaks of being set apart. It speaks of how after you are saved, you are gradually throughout the Christian life more and more set apart from the world and unto the Lord. He's still working on me to make me into all that I ought to be. I'm growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Gradually, incrementally, Patrick Latham, since he has become a Christian, has been changed little by little, more and more into the image of Christ. I have not arrived. I am not perfect. I have sins. I have shortcomings. I have strongholds, bad habits, hang-ups, whatever you want to call them. But thanks be to God for his plan of salvation. He saved me, salvation, and through sanctification, he is gradually making me more like Jesus. I'll never fully be like Jesus until an event the Bible, 1 John 3:1-2, calls glorification. That's the moment in which I will be forever changed into the image of Christ. I'll receive a new body, and I'll live forever in the new heaven and the new earth, and I'll have a resurrection body similar to the one Jesus had after he was raised. But that hasn't happened yet. No perfection till the resurrection. I'm still in this phase called sanctification. And if you're a born-again believer, you're not perfect. You're like me. You're still in this phase of sanctification. And Paul spoke of this thing called sanctification here in Philippians 1:6. And notice his words concerning sanctification were uttered within a context of the local church. He says, I'm sure of this, that he who started, speaking of Christ, a good work in you. That phrase, good work, reminds us of Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So God performed the good work of salvation in my heart. I could not save myself. The only thing I contributed to my salvation was my sins. The only thing you contributed to your salvation was your sin. God performed the good work of salvation, but after salvation, through this process called sanctification, he wants to make you more and more like Jesus. He wants to make you grow in good works. Why? So that he'll get pleasure from your sanctified life, so that you'll experience his abundant life through your sanctified life, and so that others will see Jesus through your sanctified life. Here he speaks of sanctification with this phrase, carry it on. Speaks of a continual, progressive, incremental work. And then he speaks of completion. So the Lord is faithful to carry on the work of sanctification in your life by his Spirit. And his goal is completion. The Lord will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The day of Christ Jesus, what is that? That's the end of time. That's the final appearing of the Lord. So until either you die or the Lord appears, the Lord's going to keep working in your life to convict you of sin, to shape you, to make you into all that he wants you to be. Don't be overwhelmed with your imperfection. Christ is still working on you, and he'll continue to work on you. Have faith in him. But it's important to note that Paul's words were uttered within a discussion concerning the local church. Why is this important? Paul wanted the Philippians to know that the church had a pivotal part in shaping them more and more into the image of Jesus. Here's the reality. There are no Lone Ranger Christians who are spiritually healthy and strong. There are no Christians on a proverbial island who are able to grow into all that the Lord wants them to be. You are made for relationship with God and others. The great commandment teaches us this. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That reference of the neighbor means you're made for relationship with others. Some of us may be more outgoing. Some of us may be more, have more of a propensity towards introversion. None of those things wipe away your need for the body of Christ. You're made for relationship with God. You're made for relationship with others. You're made to be like Jesus in this world, to have holy character that gives glory for the Father. And the body of Christ has a huge part to play in making you more like Jesus. See, through the body of Christ, you receive teaching and preaching you need so that your mind can be transformed and you can become more like Jesus. Through the body of Christ, you receive encouragement you need. When you're down, you've got brothers and sisters in Christ in your life group or small group or D group to encourage you and to cheer you on and to help you. through the body of Christ. You have living examples here, do we not? Aren't there older believers here who give an example and a testimony of Christ that us younger believers can look to? Through the body of Christ, there's advice and input and admonition to be had here. And Paul knew this. Paul knew for the Philippians that the body of Christ would help them grow more and more into the image of Jesus. His words remind us of Romans 8, 28 through 30, and I'll close with this. We know that all things work together for good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. That verse, a phrase from it's often quoted, but listen to the context. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the goal in your Christian life, is to become into the image of Christ, to be more and more like Jesus, for the praise of God and for a witness for him in this world, so that we would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Oh, get this from the word of God. If you are called and justified, you are as good as glorified in the eyes of the Lord. He will be faithful to complete his work of salvation in your life. And the church, the body of Christ, is an instrument he wants to use for these purposes. So be faithful to the church.
For more information, visit us online at tabernaclebaptist.org. Thanks for listening.